And there's a word from the Lord today, 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. I want to read the first and the sixth and seventh verse. Let me go over here, get some water. I thought I was good, but Junior, y'all made me holler today. I ain't even got started. Amen. 1 Samuel 16, the first verse said, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long are you going to mourn for Saul, since I've rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I've chosen one of his sons to be king.'" That sixth verse, when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Don't consider his appearance or his height, for I've rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Amen. I want to talk about lessons on leadership, lessons on choosing leadership. I'm convinced that God wants me to help you, his people, on as we living in the midst of a presidential campaign, in the midst of all kinds of issues and rhetoric. And everybody has a story to tell, and some of it's true on both sides, but a lot of it isn't, and it's really hard to tell. And so we've got to learn how do you sift through all the rhetoric to figure out what God would have us to do. As a child of God, I'm obligated to join in the process of helping to choose leadership that will help, bless, and advance God's kingdom. And so I was led to this particular text, because in this particular text, God is picking a leader. In this particular text in 1 Samuel, you'll see that God is choosing, he's choosing a king. Matter of fact, he's firing one, and he's getting ready to hire another one. And there are three things that he shares to Samuel, as Samuel is an instrument that God's going to use to communicate the pick. He says three things to Samuel that I think will be helpful. Michelle, I really believe it'll be helpful for us. I promise you, it's just three simple things that he expresses to Samuel, who is involved with God in picking a leader. Here's the first thing, in essence, that he tells Samuel. In a real sense, he tells Samuel, it's time to move on. It's time to move on. And when you look at the first verse of chapter 16, Samuel is grieving because the person that he was hoping would succeed is not a success. And God says, listen to the words of the Lord. God says, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel?" Now let me show you something. Technically, Saul is still, he still has the seat, but God has already made a decision, you're fired. You need to know something, that he has the seat, he's in the seat, but God, who is sovereign, has already decided we're getting ready to move on. And he's speaking to Samuel because Samuel is very grieved over this. I'm sure Samuel was thinking that he was going to be a great success. Saul is exactly what the people wanted. God gave them what they wanted, And Saul has now been fired in the eyes of God. And Samuel is grieved because he wanted him to be a success. But here's the problem. Samuel wants more for Saul than Saul wants for himself. It is possible that in ministry, in life, you can want more for a person than that person wants for themselves. And when you want more for them than they want for themselves, when you see potential possibility, but they don't see it and they won't put in the work to get it, it's possible to feel grieved because they are underachieving. Well, what'll get you fired? That's a good question, Ed. What will get you fired? I'll tell you what got him fired. When you look in the Word of God, he explains what got him fired. Chapter 15, verse 10, God tells Samuel, here's why I'm firing, because I know you're having a hard time with this, but I'm firing him, first of all, because he's turned from me. I'm the one who put him in place, but then now that he's in place, he's turned from me. Secondly, I'm firing him because he won't follow my instructions. But you put them two together, when a person turns from God as if they don't need God, that's a good sign. That's a good sign that you might get fired. And when they don't follow God's instruction, God clearly says, do this, and they do something else. And then God says, I'm firing him because he has had the audacity to set up a monument for himself. In other words, Saul has become a selfish egomaniac. And if you want to know one thing that will get you fired by God, it's selfishness. Because all he thinks about is himself. He doesn't think he has to do what God says. He doesn't think he has to walk in God's truth. He doesn't think he does whatever he thinks he's big and bad enough to do. And when you're supposed to be representing God, and you go your own way, even though you have the seat, it's a good sign you're fired. Same verse. God tells Samuel, he says, it's time to move on. In other words, it's over. I know he still has a seat, but it's over. Put a fork in it, because we're getting ready to move on. And he says to Samuel in the same verse, first Samuel chapter 16, I have made another choice. Look at this. First of all, since I have rejected him as king over Israel, fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons. Well, Shalante, what is God looking for? What does he look for in leadership? I would suggest to you, if you want to be used by God in a mighty way, you need to know that one of the things that God wants, expects, demands, is for any individual who's to be serving him is to come in alignment with his will. You got to be in alignment with his will. You have to walk in parallel with his will. Let me see if I can explain it like this. Me and one of my sons of the church, we were traveling a few days ago, and we were coming back from Knoxville, and we were on Highway 40 coming back from Knoxville, and there was a truck that was in front of us, and he was driving, and he was behind this truck for a while. And he said, Pastor, I said, yeah. He said, something's wrong with that truck. And I said, what do you mean? He said, it's going down the road and the back end is not in alignment with the front end. How is that possible that the rear end can be over here and the front end is over there. And I looked, and sure enough, the truck was doing a crawl. That's a aviation term. It was doing a crawl down the road. The front wheels were not in alignment with the rear wheels, and whenever you have that, some interesting things are going to happen. One, it'll never be able to function for long as it was designed to. It will start wearing out some stuff that you can't see, because anytime the rear is not aligned with the front and it's going down the road crooked, it's going to wear out the tires, it's going to wear out tie rod ends, because there's undue pressure because it's not rolling like it should. I just said it. I'm going to give you a second to catch it. When you get out of alignment with God, it's going to cause you. Now, ain't going to cause God no pressure, because God going to do what he going to do. He going to go where he going to go. But when you are out of alignment, it's going to cause some undue. And it's going to wear out some things that you can't see. God is looking for somebody that will align with his will. Watch this. He's not looking for perfection, because there's no perfect leader. Get this straight. No matter what folks say, there is no perfect leader. They're going to have some shortcomings somewhere. But God is looking for somebody that will align with his will. And watch what God said. He said, I've already made my choice. I've already made my choice. I've already made my choice. I picked one of Jesse's boys, Jesse, the one who lives in Bethlehem. Then it dawned on me, I wanted to know. I was trying to find out, when did God interview David so that he could make his choice on giving David this job? And I searched, and I was trying to find what day David had his appointment where he sat down with God and presented his resume, and I couldn't find it. How you gonna pick somebody and not have an interview? This was bothering me, because every job I've had, I had an interview. And then they decided, after they talked to me, they decided whether or not I would get the position. Could it be that all along God was watching David, even though David didn't know God was watching him? Because here's what we find out about David. In chapter 16, verse 11, you're going to find David serving. Now, here's what's interesting about David serving. Dave served watching over somebody else's sheep. David had a lowly, lowly job. It was nobody. Nobody would dream of becoming a shepherd. Nobody wanted to go to Israel Baptist University so that they could become a shepherd. That's a low man on the totem pole kind of job. But David was serving, and here's what's so amazing. David treated them sheep like they were his own sheep. You see David serving. Not only do you see David serving, but in the 18th verse, you see David celebrating because he's singing. He's working in a hostile environment. I'll get to that in a second. He's working in a place where there's lions, tigers, and bears. Oh, my. I'll get to that in a minute. But in the midst of a hostile situation, working by himself, and all he has is the sheep to keep him company, he's developed another gift on the side. Because now the word has got out, when the Spirit of God had left Saul and an evil spirit was tormenting Saul, somebody was trying to figure out, how do we keep this crazy man from killing us? Maybe if we could have somebody that could come and sing to him, maybe it would calm him down. And somebody else said, I know somebody. There's this dude named David. He plays the guitar. And he sings real well. Here's somebody he's serving, even though it's not his sheep. And he's singing even in a hostile environment. Now, y'all, it's easy to sing when everybody like you. It's easy to sing when everybody is applauding you. It's easy to sing when you got some money in your pocket, your bills are all paid, and all you got to figure out is where you want to go to eat after church. It's easy to sing when everything is going your way, but can you sing in a hostile environment? And David is singing even though he's by himself. David is singing even though there's threatening animals all around him. You got to learn not to sing just when everything's cool. And here's what I discovered. If you have a storm, one of the ways of getting through it, sing your way. You can sing your way out of a storm. I dare you to try it. Trials come your way, sing your way through it. Big old stack of bills, big stack of bills, little stack of money, sing your way through it. That's why, that's how folk came up with songs like this. I know the Lord will make a way. Who writes a song like that when you're singing through? When you're singing through a storm. Who writes a song like, pass me not, O gentle Savior? It's when they need God and everybody else is getting blessed and they're wondering if God's gonna pass them by. You gotta sing through it. You see David serving. You see David singing. In the 34th verse, when he testifies, you see David saving. You see David working in a hostile environment. And every once in a while, David has to save the sheep. I celebrate David, first of all, because here's somebody, the sheep don't belong to him, but he treats them like they do. And when they get attacked by a lion, he goes after them. He could have said, oh well, ain't my sheep. He could have said, oh, well, they're getting ready to fresh and have some old babies in 3 months. We'll replace it. And here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. A lion can only carry one sheep at a time. He could have said, it's only one. But even though it was only one, David testified one time the lion got a hold of the sheep. One time a bear got a hold of it and ran off with it. Because here's what animals do. Big animals oftentimes will try to grab the vulnerable and then take it off to feast out of sight. But David said, don't lions eat sheep for a living? If possible, don't bears enjoy sheep? What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong with the lion having a sheep? And David's attitude, ain't nothing wrong. He just can't have this one because they belong to my father. He may have somebody else's, but he's not going. Isn't it good to know that we have a God who's looking for somebody who has a heart like his? I know there are lions. I know there are bears. I know there's going to be some folk eaten up, but they're not getting one of mine. He goes after them. Listen to what he says. He's saving. He goes after them because they're valuable to God. And what's valuable to God has become valuable to him. He goes after them, and in the text he testifies, he said, I asked the lion, give me back my sheep. he goes back, he said, I said, Mr. Bear, That's my father's sheep. And the bear wouldn't give it up. And the lion wouldn't give it up. And David said, I tell you what I did. I busted him upside the head. Because if you put enough pressure on him, the life becomes more valuable than a meal. You'll catch that in the parking lot. You put enough pressure on him, if you hit him in the right spot, there's some stuff they'll let go of because their life becomes more important than the meal. And they let go. Wait a minute, watch this. David said, I took that sheep out of the lion's mouth. Watch this 34th verse of chapter 16. He said, and when I did that, they turned on me. And when they turned on me, they said, David still wasn't afraid. I got something for you. And then he testifies. He said, with my own hands, I killed them when they turned on me. Have I got a witness here? You need to know, hey, every now and then, when you start snatching sheep out of lions' mouths and bears' mouths and folk that have been oppressing people, they will turn on you. Hey, Alex, check this out. Every now and then when folk get scared and when folk don't like seeing folk in position with Ebony Hue and you trying to do the right thing for the right reason, people will turn on. They'll turn on you. They'll turn on you. But David said, I ain't scared. I got something for you. And David said, when all was settled and done, I was standing and they were laying down. What is God looking for? What is he looking for? When did he interview him? Well, I'm gonna tell you the truth. He didn't interview him. Because God don't interview. God ain't in the business of interviewing. God's in the business of making. God doesn't have to wait till you do some stuff to try to impress people. The text I read, God had already made up his mind, told Samuel, you go fill up your horn with oil and you go on down because there's somebody I've already chosen. Even without the interview, I'm trying to help somebody up in here. You don't have to interview with God because God made you ultimately to fulfill something marvelous. Have I got a witness? He's in the making business. He took dirt and made a man. He took a rib and made a woman. He took a man and a woman and made children. He's in the making business. He took Abraham and Sarah and made a multitude. He took Peter and made him a fisher of men. He took you and me and made us the head and not the tail. Have I got a witness here? The God that we serve, he's in the making business. He's in the making business. So the truth is, he'd already made his choice. Listen to this conversation. Samuel, it's time to move on. Samuel, I've made another choice. And Samuel, you're going to have to learn. You're going to have to tell some people no. You're going to have to tell some people no. Go to Bethlehem, find Jesse. I have chosen one of his sons. When you get down there, Jesse, he says, I'll tell you what to do. And he gets down there with the heifer because they're going to make a sacrifice to the Lord. He invites Jesse and his sons to come to the sacrifice. And the oldest son was the first one that shows up, and Samuel saw him and immediately thought, surely he's the one. And I know the Lord was saying in the back of his mind, here we go again. Here we go again. You're looking at somebody who's tall. You're looking at his hair. You're looking at his appearance. Because, y'all, we got to go beyond that. When we need leadership, I'm trying to help somebody up in here. Sister girl, you got to go beyond his height. You got to go beyond what he's driving. You got to go beyond all of that, because all of that external stuff is going to change. Ooh-wee, I sure wish I had a picture of me when I was 18 with my arms folded with my 32 size jeans and had my arm underneath my biceps, whatever these are, and I was pushing them up because I was trying to look sexy because I had a girl I was trying to get her attention. Her name was Trudy Marcel. And after 40 years, that didn't change. That hadn't changed. And so you got to go beyond that. You got to go beyond that. God says to Samuel, no, he ain't the one. Watch this. Here's the problem. Here's the challenge. There are going to be people that want the job but can't have it because God didn't choose them. And you got to be the one to tell them. Now, I know that Samuel didn't announce, I'm here looking for the next king. I know he didn't say that. And so everybody coming in, they don't know what Samuel's up to. But Eliab, the oldest one, he gets in and he meets Samuel. Samuel says, how you doing? Give him some dap and all of that. And God says, he ain't the one. And Samuel has to say, next. And he comes, how you doing? Nice to meet you. And God said, he ain't the one. And Samuel has to say, next. And he does this seven times. And each time God tells him, he ain't the one. And then he turns and looks at Jesse and said, are you sure? Do you have any more sons? He said, well, the youngest one, we didn't even invite him. The youngest one, he's still out tending sheep. And Samuel said, well, we can't make the sacrifice until he come. We can't worship until we come. We can't do what God wants us to do until he come. Isn't that interesting? You weren't even invited to the party, but when God has something for you, he'll stop the party and wait for you to show up. And when David comes in, the Lord said, he's the one. And he took the oil and poured it on David. I need to give you a word to share this word with somebody else, because all of us know somebody that then gave up on God. And I need you to tell them, yes, there was a lot of people rejected in this text. Six people. Saul was rejected. Seven brothers were rejected. But here's what you need to know. Since God created you, you can believe he's got a yes with your name on it. If you just walk with him, he got a yes with your name on it. I know a whole lot of people have told you no. They said no at the bank. They said no for the house. They said no for the car. You keep walking with God. They said no. Everybody said no. But here's what you need to know. Your father, have I got a witness here? God can sovereignly arrange some sanctified no's so that he'll get you to the door he wants to get you to. Sometimes he'll say no now because he's trying to get you to something better. He's trying to get you to something better. He said, he ain't the one. Then he gets to David and says, anoint him. Walter, watch this. The text says, he anoints David in the presence of his brothers. Tracy, why would God have Samuel anoint David in the presence of all his big brothers? I got two reasons, and I'll go to my last point and sit down if I can. He does it in the presence of his brothers so that his brothers will know God did it. I wish I could hear y'all shout. Somebody ought to be shouting on the screen. Here's what you need to know. God will do it in the presence of other folk so that when they get to talking about it, they will have to say, David didn't do it. David didn't earn it. God did it. David didn't say nothing. All David did was show up, and then God did it. Don't be mad at David. God did it. I told you, I got two reasons. He did it in the presence of his brothers because he let the brothers know God did it. And then God does it in the presence of your brothers, of your haters, so that you'll know God did it. Because every once in a while, we get beside ourselves. Every now and then, we forget who really did it. But God will bless you. God will anoint you. But you need to know it wasn't you. Nobody. But the Lord, he did it. If folk wanted to ask you, how'd you get thus far? God did it. How'd you get that house? I tell you, God did it. How'd you build that school? I'll tell you, God did it. How'd you get such a lovely wife? I'll tell you, God did it. How did you raise your children? I'll tell you, God did it. He 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 did it for me. And he did it for you. I can't leave without telling you one last thing. You remember what long ago? We went to Walmart. They ran out of toilet paper. Remember when we went to Walmart? I ain't never seen this before. What, no chicken? Ran out of chicken. Ran out of hamburger. Went to Walmart. People were picking up the last cans of hominy. Who buys hominy? Trying to find some ramen noodles. Couldn't find no ramen noodles because they ran out. Trying to find some hands. You remember when we were running around town trying to find hand sanitizer? Because they ran out. I got some real good news. God told Samuel, you fill your horn with oil. And you go and anoint David. And when Samuel poured all his oil on David, Samuel ran out of oil. But I got some good news. The God we serve, he never runs out of he never runs out of oil. The oil represents the Spirit of God. The oil represents the power of God. And when God had Samuel anoint David, it said, and the power of the Lord came upon him from that very day. I want to tell you that when Jesus died for our sins and ascended on high, he promised to send the Holy Spirit. And God has never run out of Holy Ghost. He has never run out of the anointing. He will never run out of what he needs to supply us with the power to do what he's called us to do. And so the anointing is simply this. It's the power of God on your life to do what he's called you to do. And God will give you an anointing. He will anoint you. God is looking. It's time to move on. It's time to move on. God sovereignly puts leadership in place. And God, even though he puts leadership in place, it doesn't mean that that leader will be a good leader. And sometimes God will say, well, hey, it's time to move on. And God clearly told Samuel, I have made another choice. And I'm grateful to God that God didn't send Samuel down there to interview him. Don't go interviewing. Just go do what I said, because he's already been picked. And you need to know that God has already picked you. It's just a question of will you respond to his will. Told Jeremiah, before you were in your mother's womb, I've been looking at two sweet new grandbabies. And each one of them, when I look at them, I look at them knowing that God has a plan for their lives. God brought them into the world for a reason, and he has a plan. He has an assignment for each and every one of them. And I may not live to see all that they do for the kingdom, but God has an assignment on their lives. He has an assignment on their parents' lives to get them to that point where they can do what God has called them to do. God don't run out of oil. He's got enough oil for you and me.